Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking about something that happens a lot, probably a lot more this time of year, which is getting sick. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about how to avoid getting sick, which is what a lot of us want to do, when it's okay to sort of train through like some low-level sickness, when you should rest, and then how to get back into things once you're feeling better as well. So it's definitely that time of year where there's so many bugs going around, and I guess the cooler weather, it's probably, I'm not even sure if there's any real sort of science behind that, or if it's sort of more that you just remember getting sick more in winter and as it cools down than you would at other times of the year. But it definitely seems like this time of year there are just more people like pick up like colds and flus and that kind of thing. And there are a few things that you can do to just help boost your immune system, which your immune system is more about like how quickly you recover more so than necessarily not getting sick at all. But, you know, try not to... My go-to in the past has always been like panic taking vitamins when I start to feel myself getting sick. Now I try to be a bit more regular with it, so it's all the time. But things that can help are, you know, if you think that there's a possibility that your diet is inadequate in some areas, which is super easy to do when you're busy and it's not always easy to sort of like get everything in that you might want to. Things that I regularly take are vitamin B and zinc and magnesium. I take that sort of before bed just to help with a bit of recovery, but I think it also helps with immune system. I take cod liver oil once a day, and I also have a greens powder that I use. Now you might not need all of those things, but you could just look at, you know, either a supplement or just sort of like upping your intake of vegetables and fruits and other things that are going to help support your system, along with like anything that's anti-inflammatory is going to help. So you can sort of like just start working that into your routine to make sure that you're in a good place to be able to sort of like fight off infections as they show up, but particularly if you're a parent and you're surrounded by little germ fests 24/7. And that's all going to help. I'm actually due again, but I do get the flu shot. I just figure at this stage anything that helps is good. And there's another thing that I do that I've talked about before, which is very popular, but after my hot warm shower in the morning, I have a 3-minute cold shower. Now here, like the pipes aren't necessarily as cold as that what they would be in Melbourne or Canberra, and I definitely know that from times I've done races down there. I have the cold shower before a race because I think it really helps just sort of like wake up your muscles and everything. It's like, this is so different. But it is starting to get a lot colder in the cold shower now. But I think it all helps. And so, you know, in the, I think like the, and it's always a bit, you know, like you say when the last time you had a cold was, and it's, you get a bit superstitious about it. But the last time I had an actual cold was last August. So I've had a very good run, and I'm not exactly sure what, if it's sort of like one of the things that I'm doing or if it's all of them together, but it's just like better not take any risks. So so it can just, it can be frustrating when sickness gets in the way of what your plans are, because you can feel like you're in a really good routine and then, you know, like you out with a cold for the better part of a week, or, you know, potentially something longer if you've got the flu, and it can just throw a bit of spanner in the works. So, you know, if you can get around it, then that's a good thing to do. But also don't worry about it either, because it's sort of like a couple of weeks of rest is not really going to, it's not really going to derail you. You're not really going to lose any fitness. It's just, and sometimes it's just better to just focus on getting your rest and coming back when you're well. But in terms of like when you would run and when you would not run, that's much more about like how you feel than like you can kind of like to a certain point I go off symptoms in that once anything's in my chest, I would not run with that. But if it's just sort of like head cold situation, I would probably run with it, but it would depend on how I feel. Like if I just feel really rubbish, then I wouldn't run with it. If I feel okay, then I probably would, but I would never do anything high intensity, because high intensity kind of temporarily lowers your immune system. So, and that high intensity, like it's not just sort of like a sprint thing, it's also a distance thing. So generally speaking, if I'm under the weather, then I would avoid anything that's intense, but I would also avoid anything that's over an hour or two. So you can just sort of, and over time you can kind of gauge how you're responding and what works best for you. Like usually for me that works is like run up until the point that like if it gets into my chest, then I'd be resting then. I also do find sometimes like sort of taking some decongestant when I get the head cold can kind of like stop it from making its way down into the lungs. So sometimes I do that. And then for me, like usually the most I would need to be resting is sort of 3 to 5 days, depending on how bad it is. But usually when I'm at the tail end, it does me good to go for an easy run to just to shake off the cobwebs a bit. And I find that I get better more quickly doing it that way. But it is just the kind of thing that you want to experiment with and see what works for you. So if you've been sick and it's been less than 2 weeks, you can be pretty confident in just picking up wherever you are up to. So if you're on a training plan that's not, doesn't have a sort of like a specific event at the end, then you could just continue on with where you're up to. If you have something with something specific at the end, I would just pick up where you are up to, like in terms of the weeks. So that might mean just skipping a week entirely. It's fine. But with saying that, I would definitely, the first time you go back, make sure it's something easy, make sure it's under an hour, and just sort of ease yourself back in a little bit. But you don't have to make up what you missed, and don't have to worry about it. Like, interruptions in training happen all the time. No training plan would think that somebody is going to do 100% of the sessions. Like obviously that's what you're going for, but it is fine to not do all of the sessions and just like pick up where you left off or jump to the week that you're up to. All completely fine. When it's been longer than 2 weeks, that's when it starts to change a little bit, because you probably have got a little bit of deconditioning at that point in time. So what I would then do is if you have a training plan that it doesn't have an event-based end, that makes it super easy, just go back to the start of the last week that you did, and I would start there. And if you do have an event-specific thing, then that's something a little bit different, and I would just get your coach to sort of look at it and modify it because you are going to be deconditioned, so you need to sort of ease back into it. But also you don't necessarily sort of like have the freedom to just go back to where you were, because you've got to build up to a distance by a specific point in time. And often it's just really simple tweaks, you know. So if you would sort of like might go back and do that week that you'd already done, and then, you know, generally speaking, most training plans would have you hit like a high sort of distance, you know, 2, 3, 4 times during the cycle. And so it's just a matter of using that leeway to kind of build up to that 2 or 3 times instead of 3 or 4. So it's super easy to fix, and it's just about, generally speaking, with load in terms of like distance, you kind of like want to be in this sort of like sweet spot of, you know, being around sort of, you know, like 80 to 130% is like, it's sort of like the safe spot. So the risk of injury also happens if your load is too low, which I know seems counterintuitive, but it's true. So when the load goes down too much, then injury risk is higher, just the same as when the load goes up too much, then injury risk is higher. And you would kind of consider the load over a 4-week period, not like a 1-week period. So, you know, if you have been sick and, you know, you've had 2 weeks off, then you would like be considering the load over the whole 4 weeks, not just like the fortnight. So you can kind of just look at that and, you know, look at increasing by a reasonable amount, and also just listen to your body in that phase of things, because the most important thing, like particularly if you've got an event on, is getting there in good shape. So there's no point in like dramatically increasing the load and doing all of this stuff if that's going to cause you to be injured and then you're not going to be able to run anyway. So it is just making a few changes. So if you have a training plan, generally speaking, there would be some weeks in there that are lighter weeks as recovery weeks. So that would be a great week to start in on when you're coming back from being sick, because it's lighter, there's be less distance, less intensity. It's going to be easier to ease back in. And then the next week it's going to jump up a bit. And if that's a bit too high, you can just reduce the distance a little bit to accommodate for the fact that you've been unwell. And when you are reducing volume, you need to make sure that you're not just reducing the easy volume, because, you know, people like to tick off their sessions and have them done. And so the temptation is, well, I shouldn't be running this much through the week, so I will just take off time off, you know, this easy portion of my run, or like I'll cut back on this warm up or that cool down. That's not a good plan. So you need to cut back. So if you are looking at a week and you're going, okay, I need to kind of reduce this by 10 to 20% just to sort of like manage my volume, getting back into it, then you need to be taking off like intervals from your interval sessions or distance from your tempo run or, you know, whatever it is. And so just like take it off across the board, because reducing your volume but maintaining that really high amount of intensity is probably going to be a bit too much for your body. So that's generally how I look at adjusting things in a period of being unwell. And as you're coming back, just really listening to your body, particularly if you've had any kind of stomach bug or gastro, like that can absolutely wreak havoc with all of your electrolytes and everything like that. So it can take a while to get back into the swing of things. So you want to be really focused on your nutrition in that period of time to end on your rest and everything like that, and just be patient with yourself, because your body's just expended all of this energy fighting off an illness, and you can't be too demanding in what you're expecting it to do after that. Another thing to be aware of too is that I think like a really good warm up and cool down can also help as a protective factor, just because you're not sort of putting your body in a state of shock with the warm up. So you're sort of like allowing your body time to get ready for what it's about to do. And with the cool down too, you're not cooling down too fast, which so generally speaking, when it's warm, I don't worry too much about like where I stop running, because, you know, I'll do the cool down run bit and then I'll walk for a bit and it's all fine. In winter, I pay more attention to where I'm actually going to be finishing, because if I finish the cool down running bit and then I'm walking for a bit, it's possible for me to get too cold too quickly. And so I sort of prefer to like finish closer to my car or my house or whatever, and just makes it that little bit easier, that you're not having sort of like rapid changes in body temperature, which your body doesn't tend to like that much. Thank you. So that's it for this week. I do have a reminder that the foundation memberships for Run Club are closing at the end of the month. So if you want to jump in now, then you lock in your membership prices for life, which works out to about a saving of $100 to $120 a year. And if you have any questions at all about Run Club, just let me know. I'd be happy to have a chat about it, and I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you.